As always, thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. And I kind of know how you feel whenever you get information a little ahead of time right before a service and you start to preach and it's the only thing on your mind. Look over here before you came. Right? But that message you preached this morning, and these boys aren't here.
Yeah.
And so, and you know the church, the burden of my heart's been the teens has changed. I used to be in charge of an older group like the Barnabas Bunch. But the Lord has changed my heart to teens. And I'm very proud of you girls for being faithful.
Amen.
I look like you're going to die. Stephanie's even here and she's not feeling well. But boys, I'm also proud of you. You too. You might have been drugged here. I know a preacher before I heard he was raised on drugs. Drug to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't know if you're a drug here or not, but I'm glad you're here.
Amen.
And be faithful to the house of God. Be Amen. Faithful to the word of God. I don't know where these other boys are, I don't know what they're doing, but this message would have been great for them. The message title is called, You've Got a Friend. And we'll get into Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18, verse 24. In Proverbs it says, A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's open up the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for being a gracious and merciful God to us. Lord, I'm so thankful that you meet with us, not just in your house, Lord, but on a daily basis when we ask and talk to you and do our devotions and read your word. Lord, I pray that you move in our midst tonight. Lord, I pray that you help me to speak your word, the words that you want me to say. Give me clarity of thought, Lord. And also I pray that you just be of the service now in Jesus' name. Amen. I always step in the pulpit and I'm always nervous, and I pray God never takes that away from me. Just the burden and the pressure of being behind a pulpit, especially when it's not mine, it's somebody else's. I pray he never takes that away from me. So, trying to get through, once I get started, I usually get past my nerves. But Proverbs 18:24 says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and we know that to be Jesus Christ. When you have no other friends, and I'm coming from a public school background until I was age 13, and going to a Christian school, and I told you that story before as well, I went from I called friends, hundreds of friends, in football and baseball, in the school itself, down to two that were still left in the public school, that were close friends. So I know what it means whenever you surrender and you give your life to God and you go in a different direction and you start losing a bunch of friends.
That's right. Yeah.
But I also gained friends at this Christian school. And eventually I went to the church there where the Christian school was based out of, and I gained a lot of friends there too.
Amen.
Godly friends. But God says, even if you don't have any friends, think about Elijah up on that mountain. You didn't think anybody else was there, but he still went and did it because he knew God had his back. He had a friend in God, and God still, every time that God spoke to him and told him what to do, he listened, and he had a friend. And we have a friend in Jesus, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus is that friend. Jesus also had friendship in the Bible is very important. If you look all through the scripture, I look through a multitude of verses and just get your fingers ready tonight because I got a lot of scripture to go through. But we can turn there, but we don't have to turn there. But Luke 9:28, Jesus had different levels of friendship. Even he had his 12 disciples, and he also had his inner circle of Peter, James, and John. There, and they're the ones that went up and prayed with him. He had his inner circle of friendship. He had different levels of friendship. And they were all his friends. We also had the multitude. They went from 12 disciples down to 3 disciples. So there's different levels. We have a best friend, or what the girls say, the BFFs, best friends forever. You know, my daughters have those necklaces that they, the half a heart, you give the other half to the other person. I'm like, why are you breaking their heart? I never understood that. But we have a friend in Jesus Christ. So there's nothing else. And you say, oh, I wish I had a friend. I wish I had more friends. I wish I was Mr. Popular. We don't need that.
Right.
We have Jesus Christ. It's not only as our Father, our Heavenly Father, we also have Him as our personal Savior. But He says, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than you and your family. I'm here for you. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. Like my favorite song, my favorite hymn, and the hymnal is In the Garden. We're like, oh wow, that's a slow, boring song. It's a funeral song. I'm like, wow, Pastor Renwick, no. But you listen to the chorus, it's, He will walk with me, He will talk with me, and He will go through life with us. And I love that song. I love hearing my grandfather on my mom's side sing it, because he had a real deep bass voice, and he would lead music in the church, and he would sing that song, and that's where I loved hearing that song, being by him. But God says, and Jesus says, he's closer than a brother to us. I actually looked up, pastor's been inspiring me to look in Hebrew and Greek words. I don't know how to pronounce them, but I'm trying. Friend in Hebrew, in Proverbs there, means Rhea, or Ray. It means brother, a companion, a fellow friend, or fellow, and then it reassures friend, husband, or neighbor. So friend is someone that we need to have.
Amen.
In the church, as a friendship. So what does it mean to be a good friend here? Point number one. Let's start over to 1 Samuel. What does it mean to be a good friend? We need to be good friends to people. 1 Samuel 18. One friendship we all know very well was David and his friend Jonathan. The more I looked at it, I was like, who is the better friend in this situation? We'll look here in this verse and I'll explain what I'm talking about. This is after, in the chapter previous, David slays Goliath and he's won the battle there. And it came to pass in verse 1 here, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. It means they kind of like hit it off. They were best friends right off the bat. Kind of were very similar in a lot of ways. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan loved him. They were very close. They did a lot of things together. But what is really interesting here, if you know anything about culture, or if you know about this era, who was next in line to be king? Not by God's standards, but by man's standards. It was Jonathan. He was the king's son. He's going to be the next king. But Samuel goes and anoints David to be the next king. Jonathan's going to be like, what? What do you mean? This is my kingdom to take over. This is my land. But no, Jonathan was humbled himself. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be a friend of this man. Because he's probably looking at David like, man, you got a lot to go through here. How can you do that? And so Jonathan humbled himself. I think Jonathan was almost a better friend to David, if you had to look at it that way. Because, man, he's like, you're going to take the kingdom I'm deserved.
Yeah.
By man's standards here.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to help you, David. And they probably hit it off, and they're best friends. And that's the kind of, that's what it means to be a good friend. We need to be a humble friend. We need to be humble. What's it mean to be humble? It means, well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. It says it best here. This is always hard to do as a teenage boy, was to humble yourself, because you know the old schoolyard and the old schoolyard battles where my dad's better than your dad. My dog can beat up your dog. My goldfish can eat your goldfish. And then you're always in that bravado in there, and you're just like, I'm better. But let me get there. I keep going to Philemon here. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 here says, humble yourselves. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And if you know the story about David there, he humbled himself because he wouldn't even touch the God's anointed in Saul. He goes, I'm not going to kill him. I have every right to. I could kill him, again, by man's standards, because of the way he's harassing me and the way he's treating me. I could do that. But he humbled himself because in due time, I will be king. He had every right to take over. A lot of times, and he could have been. I was talking to, I think, pastor about it. I said, whenever he killed David, or not killed David, killed Goliath, he goes, wow, look at me, I'm the man that killed Goliath, I can take the, and who anointed me? Samuel anointed me, the prophet. I deserve to be king. He never did that. You know what he did? He served under Saul, played a harp for him. He became close friends with his son. He humbled himself. That's the kind of friend we need to be. Also, Jonathan was a kind person, took care of him, protected him. Remember when he shot the arrows? Protected David. He could have brought David in and lied to him, and he could have got him killed. But he showed kindness to him. He showed love to him. It says right there in the scripture in 1 Samuel, it says he loved him. And I'm not talking about a weird homosexual love. I'm talking about the love of a brother and a friend.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
In Christ. He loved him. He truly did. And he took care of him. And John 3:30, don't have to turn there. Try to eliminate some of these verses. But it says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Yes. It's not talking about friends here going, hey, I got to increase you, and I'm going to decrease. No, it's talking about he must increase, and I must decrease.
Yes.
That's the only way we're going to be able to be on this and be able to be a good friend. And when you know the golden rule we've all learned in school actually comes from the Bible as well. Do unto others as they will do unto you. Same thing. It's actually in the Bible as well. Let's go to a few verses here about friendship. Let's start in the book of Proverbs. I had those two friends I had grown up. Great guys. Still are great guys today. One I was really close to in Proverbs 17. One I was really close to Walter when he went to church with me. I'm still not sure if he's truly saved. I dropped the ball there as a young man, but I also didn't know a lot about scripture and how to deal with it. But he was in the same church I was in, so he heard the same gospel, same clear message. He grew up and he became a Marine, and he still has a good family, and then he's still going. But as we were younger, he was always the guy I went to. We never had deep conversations. We were just, let's go play sports, let's go do this. Yeah. But I had another friend. And, I'll tell you about this other friend here in a minute, the next point. I'm trying, kind of getting ahead of myself. That first friend, though, I wish I could have helped him more. But he was always there for me. He was always faithful. He was a humble kid. He was kind to me, and he was loving to me. All those three things. But he's not in the church today serving God the way he should be. And we'll get into that here in a minute. And then the next friend I'll tell you about. So Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend, going back to these three things I mentioned, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When a friend comes to you, he's not going to hate you one day. I've seen this with girls, and sometimes guys. I've seen it with girls sometimes go, oh, we're not friends today. And the next day, hey, how are you doing? We're best friends today. I'm going to say it from the flip side. In high school and elementary school, I've seen it all the time. They flip sides all the time. Well, you know, I'm friends with you today because we both hate her, kind of thing. Or if she makes me mad, I'm going to jump back on this side, and we're going to be friends. It was wishy-washy all the time.
Right.
Those aren't friends.
No.
Those are just acquaintances or problems. A friend, though, loveth at all times, even when you make them mad. They still love you. They might tell you aggressively to your face, like whenever, it's eluding my mind, Paul went to Peter to his face. He went to his face. He didn't go, hey, Peter, you know, this thing happened here and this. No, he went to his face and he was aggressively, probably nose to nose, yeah, screaming at him, yeah, aggressively, hey, this is what's going on. You need to stop it. But he still loved him. He didn't hate him. He did that because he loved him. There's another verse here we'll go to because of that. And Proverbs 27:6. If you turn over there. Right here. This verse right here. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So teens, when that person comes to you and goes, yeah, that's fine, let's disobey the teacher. Or hey, let's go do this. But we were told not to. No, it's okay, it'll be okay, they won't know. That's an enemy.
Yeah.
It says right there, they're being deceitful. The kisses, that means they're trying to love you up and trying to say, hey, you're a great person, don't worry about what they're saying. You know what they're preaching from the pulpit, or they're trying to teach you, or the youth pastor's wife, or the youth pastor's trying to tell you what to do, and then that person comes up to you and goes, that's not what they really mean. That's not it. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. You're fine. You can go to the prom. You're fine. You can go do that. No. That's the kisses of an enemy.
That's right.
That's someone that's trying to destroy your life. They might not know it, but you should know it. Mm-hmm. But the wounds of a friend, what does that mean? That doesn't mean the friend comes up and stabs you. Hey, how'd that feel? That's not it. What it means is that they're going to tell you, Pastor Osborne used to tell an illustration about a zit on his forehead. If I had a zit on my forehead, you'd want a friend to tell you that. Especially if it's a big old honking zit. Because, hey, you got something on your forehead. They don't want you to walk around all day with that zit on your forehead, with that, you know. Or if you got a big old booger on your nose or something like that. Who knows? You want someone to tell you, right? That's the same thing a friend does. Hey, you're messing up here in your life. Let's get back on track.
Right.
That's what a friend does.
Amen.
How do you react to that is another side of the coin. That friend comes up to you and says, hey, I see you're struggling here. I see you shouldn't be hanging around with that person. And you're like, how dare you tell me that? Talk to the hand. Right? Have you seen that before? Talk to the hand? Yeah, you see? You know how to do it. Talk to the hand. And you just go, you stick your nose up at them. But in all reality, they're just like, I'm just trying to help you. Yeah. I'm supposed to love at all times. Let's go to Acts 28. What does it mean to be a good friend? Acts 28. Remember the title, You've Got a Friend. You don't want to be able to say to somebody, hey, I'm pointing these things out because you've got a friend. I'm right here. I want to help you. Jesus is doing the same thing to us. He's poking. He's saying, hey, work on this. Fix it. I'm not here trying to destroy your life. I'm trying to help you.
Amen.
Fix it. 28, Acts 28, 15. By the way, I meant to say this in the beginning. Pastor, great message this morning. But my father has a bone to pick with you about the message.
Bring it on.
Okay. And I kind of agree with him a little bit, just so you know. You mentioned John Wayne. And his walk.
Stepped on his idol.
Yes, you did. Yes. That's why he's sitting in the corner now. He wanted me to clarify he had a bad back.
Okay.
That's why he swagged like that.
Okay.
Just so you know, just so you get all the facts straight. No, he was bragging on your message this afternoon, it really was. Because that was the only phone you had to fix about it. But anyway, back on 28:15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us from Iperium and three taverns from then Paul saw. He thanked God and took courage. What happened here was that these men showed up. When the brethren heard of us, when Paul's saying, they came to meet us. When things were going tough, because Paul was just going through a whole lot, shipwrecked and everything, and then he finally got to this place and the brethren showed up to minister and to help. He said he took courage in that. He said, man, my friends showed up in the ministry. They came and they were there to help me because I was just through it. So when you go through trials and heartaches, you'll know who your friends are. You ever hear that statement? When you go through it, you'll know who your friends are when they're there and they're with you through it. Those are your true friends. The other ones are the ones that just, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be there with you. Those are the ones who just are hanging around every once in a while. But Paul has some friends in the ministry that showed up. I missed a verse there. I apologize. John 15, 13. John chapter 15. Verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know who did that for us? Jesus Christ. And it says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the one to lay down his life for us. Are you willing to do that for each other, though? A friend should be willing to. Who knows what you do in the moment? We should be willing to. We want to do that. Second point here, this is the one I really want to get into. Turn to Amos 3:3. I love this verse because it's clear as day what God is saying here. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. How do I be a good friend? So you ask yourself, well, okay, what does it mean to be a good friend? We just learned you need to be humble, kind, loving, all these different things that God must increase in my life and I must decrease. But how do I be a good friend? First off, how do I be a good friend and how do I find a good friend? I'm kind of flip right here, those two things. is that how do I be a good friend? How do I find a good friend? First off, salvation. Why be friends with an unsaved man or woman? There's no reason. The Bible says, and this goes for dating, and we're talking with our kids now, about the teenagers, about biblical dating. And I actually told them on the bus ride down, I said, this is what I'll do for my daughters right here. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. I said, my daughters aren't dating until they're 40. We'll see how that works. But the point, my wife and I are reading two different books, and they're both about dating. And both the books say exactly the same thing. They say it shouldn't take longer than 2 years to figure out if they're the right one for you. Also, if it takes only 2 years or less, why start at 13?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Because
then you're 15, ready to be married. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
No.
So they eliminate it from your life. But I said, I'm not your mom, I'm not your dad, but that's what I'm telling my girls. Eliminate it from your life. We'll talk about it down the road. Right now, get a relationship with God.
That's right.
Focus on that, and that's who you need to love. He's a friend. He's your father. He's the one you should be loving right now. If you love him right, he'll go, all right, I'm going to bring you desire of your heart, and it'll come in due time.
Yes.
That goes for friends, too. If you want a good friend, you want someone to help you along, and Amos 3 here will talk about this, but he needs to be saved. 2 Corinthians 6:14 talks about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There's no reason. But wait a minute. We need to reach the lost. So if I befriend them and be their friends, I can reach them better. No. You need to give them the gospel and be friendly, but you don't need to be a friend to them, to the unsaved. That makes sense? We need to reach them by giving them God's word and preaching to them and talking to them that way, but doesn't mean you need to be best friends with them and show up at the bar and say, hey, we can be friends here together. No. We don't need to be unequally yoked. So that's the first thing, salvation. But Amos 3:3 talks about, can two walk together except they be agreed? I've asked Colton to come and help me with an illustration here. I got a few things here, so you're going to be up here for a minute. Is that okay?
No.
Just follow as I do and not as I say. Just kidding. I think I did. Proverbs 27:17. So, if you turn there, I'm going to turn there as well. I'll get to the illustration here. Probably behind. Amos 3:3 says, how can the two walk together except they be agreed? So if we're walking together, I could do it. If we were arm in arm, like that, I don't know if we could do that. But if we were arm in arm, we'd be walking together like this, agreed. And that's how you talk to somebody, right? Talk back and forth. Because if he was behind me, it'd be hard to talk to him. I'd be like walking around, where you at, Colton? Right? So you can stand up here for a minute. Walking together. How could two walk together except they be agreed? If I had disagreement or if he was not saved, we'd be off on the wrong page right off the bat. There'd be no way we could walk together. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. As we're walking together, we'd be walking side by side. We'd be iron sharpening iron. What's that do? That sharpens our blade. That sharpens our wisdom together. We're growing spiritually. We're going towards a goal together as friends. Teenagers, same thing. What friends do you have in your life? Are you iron sharpening iron? Adults, doesn't just go for teens. Iron sharpeneth iron. Who's your friends? Who are you hanging out with? Who's your most time spent with in that aspect? The other thing is, this is where I'm walking around with it work, but let's not go into it. So, turn that way. Now, if we were locked arms together, we'd just be going in circles, wouldn't we? Because he'd go that way and I'd go this way. We'd just be going round and 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 round. And we're not accomplishing any goal. Right? So if we're not agreed, and he's going one way, and I'm going the other way, and we're supposed to be together, and we're friends, I'm just spinning and making a big old hole in the ground, doing nothing. Right? You gotta find that right friend. I got like 7 more points. Next thing, you'll like this one. Not you, I will. We're going along in our path, and if I'm supposed to be a friend to him, we're walking along here. Walking along, and I just go, whoop! And he falls. He didn't fall, he didn't listen. But But if I tripped him, I was like, ha ha, look at that, that was so funny. At the misfortune of my friend, I'm laughing at him because I tripped him up. Is that a good friend?
No.
No, good answer. This happened to him, that's why. He's tripped. He's tripped, he's fallen, and I laugh at him. How do I trip him up? I put something in his way, a stumbling block. Got another verse here. I'm going to turn to Romans 14, verse 3, or 13. 14, 13. Romans 14, 13. You ever seen those people that walked along? You're walking along, and then you have they're standing there, and you're talking to each other like this, and then someone comes up right behind them, kneels down on the ground. Another guy pushes them over. It's hilarious, but you're the one doing the pushing. But I've been the guy that's been falling down before. Romans 14, 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Well, I was pretty clear about that, isn't it? We're not to be a stumbling block. If we're supposed to be friends and good friends with each other and help each other along as a church and as a family of God, we shouldn't be putting stumbling blocks in the way. I know that Colton struggles with Chevys. I'm not going to put a Chevy in his way. Or if he was overly obese and he struggled with eating, I wouldn't go, here's a bunch of chocolate, Colton. Eat it up. I know you're trying to lose weight, but here you go. I wouldn't do that, right? That's the same as spiritually. If I know that Stephanie is struggling with music, or if Drake is struggling with music, I'm not going to go up to him and go, hey, you're like, listen to this song. This song is about this rapper. His name's Gum. I can't think of any rapper name. Little Gum Chew. That's what they have to put a little in front of it to make it a rapper. Little Gum Chew, here, listen to him. He's talking about cinnamon. Nothing to do with God, but he'll think it's great. You think that's a good friend?
Nope.
No.
I should be coming up to you and say, hey, get rid of that in your life. Get it out.
You'd be like, why?
You'd be like, because it needs to be out of your life, because it needs to be God-honoring music. Everything, because music is a horrible thing, and Satan wants to get into our lives by music. I could go on a whole rabbit trail about music and how it's messed up my young adult life, and it's harmed me in that way. But I'm not going to go up to somebody and say, I know what your besetting sin is. Because you know who does that? Satan.
Right.
He comes right up to you. And he goes, I know exactly what's going to get you. And I'm going to put this in your way. And you know what I'm going to use? I'm going to use your best friend to do it.
Right.
Or I'm going to use this boy that you think is cute, girls, to come along and tempt you. It's something stupid like that, but God, Satan knows how to do it. Another thing is, when you're walking along, pick the right friend. I'll be the person that's supposed to follow this time. Yeah. So Colton's a good spiritual friend, and I'm walking along, so I'm doing anything, but I'm laying on the ground. And he's trying to walk with me, and I'm just dead weight here. I'm like, come on, Colton, let's be spiritual. And we're on the ground. And that person walking is just dead weight, and you can't get anywhere because you got to drag him along with you. Colton, I don't think you pulled me. But they're dead weight. If you have a friend like that, you're just dragging along.
Yeah.
You ever had somebody who's just like, just come on, man. We're going to church today. We want to get in God's word. That's a good thing to be telling them. But if they're like, now I'm good, but they're holding you back, like, but you want to, like, oh, you know what, I'll just stay home today. Because I want to get you to come to church, so I'm going to stay home and read you the Bible. No. Get to church. Leave them behind. Oh, well, how can you be a good friend by leaving them behind? We'll get to that in a minute. Hang on, we got two more here. So here, another one. We're going to get into a couple really good verses here. If you want to turn to 2 Samuel first. 2 Samuel. After I do these next two illustrations here, you can sit down, Colton. But, Take Samuel 13. I'll give you the verses here in a minute. We're going down the road. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to do what's right. Cole's my friend. Pushing against me. And I'm trying to get through. I want to get there. I want to get there. But Cole's like, no! You can't go to church. You can't serve God. And he's just pushing against me. And I'm fighting the whole time. We're just battling. For one thing, our relationship shouldn't last. Because we'd just be fighting the whole time. The other illustration is this. He's pushing against me. Like, hey, don't push against me. I'm going this way. I'm just going to give in. I'm done. I'm done fighting my friend. I want him because he's Mr. Popular. He's Mr. Awesomeness. And I'm like, I got to have him as my friend, or none of the girls will like me. You laugh. You laugh. But boys in public school will do that. They have to have the status of having a girl. So it's an item. It's not a person. And that girl desires love. And they're not getting it. They're not getting it. Right. Because they're going to abuse it. Anyways, going back to it. We're walking this way. I'm giving in. I'm giving in. You know, and I start getting convicted, and the Holy Spirit's working me if I'm saved. And I start to turn back and grab back my jacket. He's like, no, I want to go back. And he's just holding me back. And I'm like, I can't. And he keeps slipping me things. And he keeps telling me things. He keeps telling me. He keeps stopping me. He goes, no. No, and he grabs me, and he pulls me, and he keeps pulling me and pulling me. Satan's doing the same thing in our lives. We try to walk with God, and we turn around. God's not going to stop.
No.
He's going to keep going. We need to walk with him. He doesn't have to come back or walk with us. We need to get and walk with God, Jesus. But if you go to 2 Samuel here, it's a very sad situation in the Bible. And I pray that none of you have the situation of a bad friend or a bad relationship. I hope you are the good friend. Chapter 13, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. I mean, she was pretty. She was no Jezebel. His name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Excuse me. For she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So right here, right off the bat, Amnon's like, I can't do it. I love my sister in the wrong way. I'm not going to do it. I'm done. I cannot do it. There's no way I can do it. Right at that moment, he should have had a friend to come up to him and say, you're right. Get away from her. Yeah. Go away. Yeah. Get out of there. Yeah. Anything you can put up, any barriers you can put up, anything you can get out of there, get away from it. What's the Bible say next verse? But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son? Lean from day to day. Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. And Joseph said unto him, lay thee down in the bed, make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give meat and dress the meat in my sight, and I'll see it and eat it in her hand. That's bad advice from a quote-unquote friend.
That's right.
Give him that advice. Again, two sides of the coin here. Amnon should have said no and took that stand, but he had a friend. He should have never had the friend in the first place. Jonadab should never have been involved in his life, and should have never even been there because he has a horrible friend. Because in verse 6 says, so Amnon lay down. I'm not going to go into the rest of it there, but he went and did what Jonadab said to do. So, kids, adults, do you have a friend like that? Do you have a relationship like that that's holding you back from serving God? Because this is David's son. The David we just talked about before that had a boldness and a stand, even his son, should be the one that should be like, oh, wow, we'll say he's the one that's been in church his whole life. He should know better. But he had a son, he had a friend. Next verse I want to go to is Galatians 5:7. You're doing good. You're serving God. But he said, you did run well. And the next verse says, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who did hinder you? And I know you guys are all learning about spiritual growth, and you're talking about salvation, baptism, and they're talking about prayer, reading your Bible, and going to church. Basics of spiritual growth, especially for newborn babes in Jesus Christ. And sometimes you're like, well, I can handle the things in this world. I can handle keeping that out of my life. Well, you know what? Who did hinder you? Who's going to come into your life that's going to eliminate that? And again, going back to it, maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone like that saying, hey, you don't need to do that. Subtly, just like Jonadab, subtle. He didn't go, no, you should go directly in there and do this. No, he's subtle. He said, it's not that bad. That's what I heard about alcohol at age 12. I don't know if my parents know this or not, I'm sorry. But at age 12, someone said the same thing to me. It's not that bad. I had a friend. And I should never... You know what? We hear all these testimonies about people that's like, I've been saved for this, and I got saved out of drugs, I got saved out of alcohol, I got saved out of an abusive relationship. Praise God. That's amazing testimony. You know what's even better testimony? And anybody that's been through any scars of sin, I believe you would already agree, is a testimony of a kid growing up in church, getting saved at a young age, never experiencing that.
Amen.
Never experiencing that. That's a testimony I love to hear.
Yes.
I was saved at a young age, and I never got to experience the scars of sin that you did. I was saved out of that. But kids so much nowadays want to go, I need to try that. I need to go through that. No.
No.
Ask any of the adults in here that have been through something like that, and they will tell you, don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't even look at it.
That's right.
Get away from me. Run away. And I wish somebody would have told me that growing up. They did late. And I got into a good Bible-believing church and a good Christian school, and my parents started serving God the way they should have. And I'm very thankful for that. And I'll tell him to his face, I'm very thankful for that. Because I'd be exactly like my brother. I know that. But because my parents made a decision to do that, changed my life. And I've seen them serve God, and that's the way I want to be, to serve God just like them. And so, but I had a friend growing up, and you guys have friends right here that are endeavoring to serve God. You need to uplift each other.
Yes.
Not pray tear down.
Yes.
The ones that aren't here, we need to uplift them.
Yes.
But don't follow along with them. Don't do what they do. Being a good friend to a carnal, backslidden person, how do you do that? Because these ones that aren't here even, they're not here. How do you be a good friend to that? Well, look to Job. Chapter 42. Job had some friends, didn't he? Some crazy friends, some weird friends. Trying to give advice, but nothing was godly about it. Job chapter 42. I mean, thankfully, you have people show up. Sometimes we don't have people that show up in their time of need. But Job chapter 42, verse 7. This is how you handle somebody that's carnal, backslidden, a friend that you desire to see serving God. You want them to be there. It's a good thing. You want to see somebody serving God, doing what's right, wanting to get them back on the path. You don't need to be joining in with them what they're doing, though. You need to be doing this right here. Verse 7. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job will pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. You have a choice. You can do this or not. There's no riding the fence. You can't do it sometimes, not sometimes. They said, you got to do this, you got to serve this, you got to sacrifice this way. Ask my servant Job to pray for you. And Job did.
Yes.
He loved his friends even when they're being the way they were to him. So they had a choice. You know what they did? Because Job was praying for him. So Eliphaz and Temanite and the Bildad the Shunammite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned unto the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You need to start praying for your friends. Praying for the ones that you want to be in church. Pray for the ones, if you want them to get back on the right path, pray. Don't join in with what they're doing. Pray for them. 2 Timothy 2:15. We can turn there. We have two more verses and then I'm done. 2 Timothy 2:15. One other thing you can do for people that you want to see serving God right, that are saved. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You need to know God's word and get in God's word. Study to show thyself, chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to rightly divide the word of truth. You've got to get in the word of truth.
Yes.
You've got to learn about it. And the last verse I have here is Galatians 5, verse 16. You need to live righteously. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When someone comes, a friend comes, and they try to hinder your walk, if you walk in the Spirit, you're doing what God has for you, living righteously, living a pure life to the best of our ability, you won't have that hindrance of that friend. But if you're living right, it's the way I kind of illustrated. I said, me and Colton were still up here. He was living right, he was walking down here, and I'm back here, and I'm drowning in the sin that I'm in. I'm trying to swim and I don't know where to go. If I see my friend that I was close to and walking with, and we were agreed, standing strong in the faith, reading his Bible, praying for me, and living a great life, I know who to swim to. Because when I get to him, I get up to them, I'm making decisions and I'm making my life better, and I get to that point where we can be agreed again, reach down, grab me, and pull me back up. Jesus did that, didn't he? Peter was walking along in the water, started drowning. He was right there by Christ, and he said, help me, Lord. He pulled him right back up. Because Peter was a friend of Jesus, or Jesus was a friend of Peter. So we need to be the right kind of friend to each other, but we also need to get rid of the friends that aren't really friends. And start serving God, and serving the one friend that we have that sticks closer than a brother, and that's Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.